Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Yudchet, Chapter 18. By the end of the last perek, we found ourselves mired in a situation termed by Chazal, Shnei Melachim Becheter Echad, two kings, one crown, an untenable scenario. David, having been secretly anointed by Shmuel, knows that he is destined to rule, and that the time is not yet right for that knowledge to be revealed. He has no idea how his ascent to the throne will be brought about. Shaul has only just begun to realize that David might indeed be the person whose identity was only revealed to him as Re'acha Hatov Mimecha, your peer who is better suited than you to being king, who will follow the word of Hashem with all his heart. Rav Yigal Ariel offers a beautiful insight into the eternal message of the changing dynamic between Shaul and David. He suggests that if we are suffering from a harsh judgment of Hashem, the moment we accept it as such, we are able to perceive that the judgment is somehow sweetened. However, man's stubbornness is a powerful obstacle to this dynamic. Shaul, had he been willing to accept Hashem's judgment, could have redeemed himself by facilitating the transition to David's kingship, but he wouldn't relinquish the kingship that he had once been so reluctant to embrace. In today's perek, we will see the unfolding dynamic between Shaul and David on a personal level, and especially the relationship between David and Shaul's children. Our perek opens immediately following the end of the last perek, when Shaul had been questioning David as to his father's lineage, and David had confirmed that his father was indeed a valiant warrior, descended from Peretz, the line of Yehuda's sons who would inherit the monarchy, and termed Yishai Avdecha, stressing that he was a loyal servant of Shaul. Our perek today opens, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayhi kechaloto ledaber el Shaul. As David concluded speaking to Shaul, V'nefesh Yehonatan nikshira b'nefesh David, v'ye'ehavehu Yehonatan kenafsho. Yehonatan's soul became bound to that of David, and he loved him as his own self. Based on this pasuk, Da'at Sofrim holds Yehonatan up as the paradigm of one who fulfills the mitzvah of ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, loving one's fellow as oneself. Abarbanel offers an alternative translation of the text, suggesting that Vayehavehu kenafsho be translated as Yonatan loved David for the lofty qualities of his soul. Yonatan, whose bravery led him to risk his life and attack the Plishtim nearly single-handedly, placing his complete trust in Hashem, recognized a kindred spirit in David, and unlike his father, respected David's qualifications for the kingship and didn't feel threatened by him or resent him. Similar to the style we noted earlier in the Sefer, when the narrative shifted back and forth between Shmuel and the sons of Eli to highlight the contrast between them, the text now moves from Yonatan to Shaul and back again, highlighting the contrast between the way each relates to David. Shaul demanded that David remain with him at all times, and he no longer allowed him to return home so that he could keep an eye on him. Yonatan and David formed a pact between them, and as a sign of his affection for David, Yonatan divested himself of his robe, his uniform, and his sword and bow, and gave them to David. This is interpreted as a sign of submission, Yonatan accepting that David would rule in his place. And David was successful in every mission upon which Shaul sent him. And Shaul placed him in charge of his warriors, which pleased the people and the servants of Shaul. One day, upon their return from defeating the Plishtim in battle, the women came out of the cities to greet them, singing and dancing with musical instruments. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vata'anena hanashim ha-mesachakot vatomarna, hikash Shaul ba'alafav, v'David b'rivivotav. The women sang laughingly, Shaul has struck down thousands and David tens of thousands. This angered Shaul greatly that the women credited David with tens of thousands and himself only with thousands. All he needs now is the kingdom, Shaul thought to himself, and he kept a close eye on David from that day forward. Malbim explains that once David had the goodwill of the people, it wouldn't take much for him to actively become the king. The Midrash comments here upon Shaul's change of attitude towards the kingship. The Gemara in Menachot 109b cites the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachya, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, that if anyone had told him before he rose to that position that he should take on that job, he would have had him tied up and fed to the lions. However, he said, now that I am, in fact, the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, if anyone were to tell me to step down, I would pour a kettle of hot water on him. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachya compared his feelings to those of Shaul. It's human nature that once we have achieved a certain position, even one we didn't really want, it's really hard to just walk away from it. The following day, the Ruach Ra'ah, the evil spirit, again descended upon Shaul, and he began to speak incoherently in the house. David played for him to soothe him as usual, and Shaul was holding his spear in his hand. Shaul threw the spear, thinking to himself, I will hit David and pin him to the wall. But David turned away just in time, twice. Malbim explains that Shaul was throwing the spear at the wall as if he were playing a game, like darts, so that if he were to strike David, it would appear to be an accident. And it was miraculous that David avoided his blows because his eyes really would have been on his instrument. And Hashem just arranged it so that David's movements as he played caused him to swerve just as the spear would have struck him, apparently without even noticing that he was in danger. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayira Shaul milifnei David, ki haya Hashem imo, umeim Shaul, sar. And Shaul became afraid of David because it became very obvious to Shaul that Hashem was with David and had departed from him. So Shaul distanced David from him, placing him as a commander of a platoon of 1,000. And David came and went before the people. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Vayhi David l'chol drachav maskil, v'Hashem imo. And David was successful in all his endeavors, and Hashem was with him. When Shaul saw that David was so successful, he feared him even further. But all of Israel and Yehuda loved David, for he came and went before them. Malbim explains that Shaul had really intended that appointment as commander as a comedown for David, who went from being a member of the king's inner circle to just another officer among others in the army. This plan backfired, however, because the people became even more familiar with David and he became beloved among them. Mishpitzot Zahav explains that Shaul's fear of David intensified when he realized that David had strengths that he himself lacked. The pasuk we just read, verse 14, can be divided into two separate clauses. First, Vayhi David l'chol drachav maskil. David, even when he relied on his own sechel, the root of maskil, his intellect, he always judged correctly. And Vahashem imo. Hashem was clearly with him even when he acted according to his own initiative. And this contrasted very starkly with the times that Shaul had relied on his intellect to guide his behavior. For example, when he decided to offer the sacrifices without waiting for Shmuel because he made a deduction, the people are starting to leave, I had better do something. Or when he decided to take Agag captive and allow the people to take the choice sheep and cattle of the Amaleki to sacrifice to Hashem, the consequences of which he was now suffering. So now, when he saw David's success, even when at times when he was making his own decisions, it highlighted his own shortcomings and caused him to withdraw even further from David. The narrative now shifts to introduce Shaul's daughters. Shaul devised another plan. Perhaps remembering that he had promised his daughter in marriage to whoever would defeat Goliath, although some authorities suggest that that was just rumor and Shaul himself had never actually made that vow and thus was not legally bound by it. But Shaul now says to David, Vayomer Shaul el David, Hine viti hagdola meirav. Ota etein lecha liisha, ach heyeli leven chayil vihilachem milchamot Hashem. V'Shaul amar, al tzehi yadibo, utehibo yad plishtim. So Shaul said to David, here's my elder daughter, Merav. I shall give her to you as a wife. Only be a brave warrior and fight the Lord's battles. Meanwhile, Shaul thought to himself, Let my hand not be upon him. Let him go out and be killed by the Plishtim in battle. But David responded to Shaul, Who am I, and who are my family in Israel, that I should become son-in-law to the king? And when the time came that Merab should have been given to David, she was given instead to Adriel HaMecholati as a wife. Meanwhile, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, loved David, and when Shaul was told of her feelings, he was pleased, saying, Oh, I will marry her to him, and it will be a trap for him. She will be a distraction, and he will fall into the hands of the Plishtim. Shaul said to David for the second time, This time you shall become my son-in-law. Shaul spoke to his servants and told them to reinforce to David that the king wants him as a son-in-law. Wow, what a privilege that would be. And Shaul's servants repeated this to David, who said, Is it such a trivial matter in your eyes to become the king's son-in-law? I'm just a poor and simple man. And when his servants repeated David's answer to Shaul, he sent them back with the message, The king has no wish for a dowry. The only price he demands for his daughter is 100 foreskins of the Plishtim to take vengeance upon the king's enemies. Shaul intended for David to be felled by the Plishtim. When the servants repeated this to David, the idea of marrying into the king's family pleased him. And before the deadline passed, David struck 200 Plishtim and brought their foreskins to the king. And Shaul gave his daughter Michal to David as a wife. It appears that David now thought that perhaps it was intended that he marry into the king's family, which might lead to a more natural accession to the throne than were he to remain an outsider. While stressing Michal's love for David, the text is silent about whether he reciprocated that love. And Shaul recognized that Hashem was with David and that Michal loved him. And Shaul grew even more afraid of David and regarded him with enmity. Whenever the Plishtim would launch an attack, David was the most successful of all of Shaul's officers, and his reputation grew, and he was endeared to the people. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayekarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha Shalom and Sarah Schenker Aleha Shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.